Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Jazz Transcription Clinic Live. Today I just started showing you my website of the Jazz Transcription Clinic, which is this one where you can listen to all the episodes past and where you can have some info about me, but mainly, you know, all the also website and streaming services where you can listen to the podcast and you can subscribe so you don't miss any episode. You know, if you need a reminder, just remember that you can subscribe also to the YouTube channel so you will be notified when a new episode is coming up. And today I chose a solo by an Italian saxophone player, an artist that is quite popular abroad, especially in Japan, but also in the States, in all Europe, and also here in Australia. There are some saxophone players that are, you know, following him. And he's a great saxophone player. He has played with a lot and numerous jazz legends. He has recorded more than 60 albums and participated in a number of collaborations, and of course we are talking about Max Jonata. I have never played with Max, but I met him on several occasions. We were playing in different bands at festivals, and he's a super nice guy, and his playing is always full of empathy, pathos, and a lot of good and heavy swing. So the solo we are focusing now is a solo he played on All the Things You Are, in a situation that I believe was a sort of workshop. He's playing this incredible solo on All the Things You Are. He's playing completely alone, so it was quite easy for me to transcribe, even because his playing is very, very clear. His timing, guys, is perfect. And I want to walk through his solo with you, and also show you a new feature that has been just released on SoundSlice, which is this platform I'm using for my transcriptions. As you know, if you are following me, if you have just started following me, SoundSlice is a great platform where you can transcribe and type the notes in. You can do many other stuff. You can export after that your music. You can use to record your solos. You can use to slow down, to loop sections. And a new feature that they have just added now is called Clips. You see here at the bottom there is written Clips, where you basically can highlight some sections and then just focus on that. And we can just start listening. So a first thing that comes to our ears immediately is that he's highlighting a lot of the guide tones, the so-called guide tones, which are the third and the seventh of every chord. Now, if you are familiar with All the Things You Are, you know that the melody itself is built on those two notes. So for example, on the first chord of the second A, this is A2, the guide tone will be F and then B flat and then E and then A. But because this is the improvisation, or he's still simply playing around the melody, so he's playing quite simple, not going too nuts yet, and he's highlighting, you know, a lot of the guide tones. For example, here, da da di da do di da do. I was a tone up, and this is almost the melody, right? And the melody ends on this low C sharp, so all that Max Yonata is adding here is just a nice phrase around the chord tones of A major, focusing on third and seventh. You can see the compass of the phrase is almost inside an octave, right? And we can go to the second clip, which is the bridge. Let's have a listen. Oh, that's so good. So can you hear and can you see that again, guide tones, D is the third of B minor 7, and then this is not strictly a guide tone, but it's a tension. He's playing the flat 9 here, creating this nice chromatic motion between F sharp, F natural, and E. If you can see these three notes, right? F sharp, F natural, and E. Do, do, do. And this is beautiful. And he crosses this concept, chromatic concept, with the guide tones. Da, do. And this is the resolution in the melody, right? Actually, in the melody, there is first F natural and then F sharp, and he inverts those two notes and create this fantastic chromatic motion and resolution motion. And then there is a phrase, this one, that is pretty similar to the one that we saw before, right, on the A major chord that stands do di da di do da da do di do di da do 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 di da do. So he's filling this section where the melody doesn't move, basically. And then you see this spanning going up to high B, and going down with a scale. This is another practice that I would like to pick your attention to, because whenever you stretch out a line, and let's say, like in this case, going from a low note, low E, to high B, so that's a 12th span, you have to compensate that. You have to go down, like having a rubber band in your hands, and you create some tension there, and then you release the tension by going back, almost to where you came, if not even longer. You see that there is almost, you know, a parallelism between those two lines, a compensation, great compensation. That's the resolution note that is anticipated, and it's the guide tones of F sharp major 7. So let's listen again. That's good. Why there is a cross on top of this D? because he's playing with a side D key. So this is a pretty saxophonistic. We have already discussed this in a previous episode, but on the saxophone you can play also the middle D in the wrong way, using the top D key to create a smoother effect, especially when you go down. So many times Max is playing the side key when the middle D is the top note of a line, like in this case. Let's keep going. This is the last A section of the first chorus of improv, and he's still playing a lot around the melody notes, which again are the guide tones. And again, if you are familiar with the form of All the Things You Are, you know that the last A section is 12 bars, and it is a long procedure around the circle of fifths, and then in the last four bars there is basically a chromatic descending turnaround to resolve on B flat major here, which is the one chord and is preceded by the two and the five here. So let's have a listen, and then I'll spend 30 seconds explaining what's going on here. That's so heavy, the swing, and the lines are gorgeous, are really gorgeous. Again, there is another D here on the resolution, which is the highest note of this phrase that he's starting here, so he plays with the side key. And if you notice, there is almost a glissando between D and C sharp. It's like for guitar players when they bend the notes, isn't it? Alright, so again, guide tones are highlighted in green on my sound slice, and this is also the melody notes, right? Do, do, di, do, di, do, ba, do, 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 di, do. Do, 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 right? So there is the melody always going on, and there are the guide tones. Look at that. How many times the guide tones happen on the first beat? Many times. Or the first note of the phrase. Look. Boom. Boom. So that's how probably Max is thinking there. Or I mean, he's not thinking deliberately all those things, but he's practicing. Hours and hours of practicing around the guide tones, around the chord tones, how to go from one guide tone to the next guide tone, connecting those two notes in a nice and smooth way. This is how we practice. This is how we improve our phrasing. And this is how we sound very, very in tune with the harmony. Right, because we are touching the sensitive notes, but we are making a good sense of it. And then, of course, if you keep at the back of your mind the melody in the background, that's it. You don't need much more than that. So we can now go to the second chorus, where something different happens, of course, because he has played the first chorus and he's played pretty much around the melody, or probably that was just the melody, we don't know, a kind of elaborated melody. So the second chorus could be the first improvised chorus, and I have used different colors because I would like to stress about some new ideas that are appearing here. In particular, we can talk about development of ideas that is going on here, and how Max is able to develop and stretch his own ideas to make his phrasing more complex, more dense. You can tell that this is one whole chorus and it's more dense. So let's just listen first. And then, as I said, we can talk a little bit. Mm-hmm. those lines. I have to practice. I have to learn those lines. That's so good. So there is still a lot of focus on the guide tones, third and seven, you know, that very often are also the landing notes. But there is also something else that I would like to talk about. I'm pretty sure you noticed that from the previous chorus where he's playing quite diatonically, and by the term diatonically I mean he's using a majority of notes taken off the scale, the reference scale. So G minor 7, there is no chromaticism. C minor 7, there is the E flat, there's no chromaticism. Here he is using the diminished scale, E flat minor 7. Can you see that? You know, there's not many chromaticism. Probably this one is one of the first, but I can explain that. So in the second chorus of the improvisation, we start watching and hearing a lot of external notes to the harmony, like E flat, C sharp, basically the notes that I marked in orange are external to the harmony. What does it mean? It does mean that create more tension because you are touching some notes that are not part of the chord, so you will create a dissonance and you will create more tension. But Max, in this case, is using a well-known technique that is part of the bebop language called enclosures, where you basically surround the target note, that in this case I put in blue, with two different notes that most likely are very close and around the target note, very often a semitone or a tone. So, like, look at in this case, of course, he's targeting the note C and he's enclosing the note C with two notes, one that is below and one that is above, but it's still inside the scale. So, both B natural and D here are part of the scale, right? D da do da do. Right? But then what happens? Do di do da. The chord is F7 and he plays G, which is fine, and then B flat, which, you know, we need to handle the fourth on a major triad with care because it can be dangerous, and then goes down to G sharp because the target note is A, so B flat will be the semitone above, G sharp is the semitone below, and then the target note is A, creating this nice chromatic effect. Do di do do weep. Right? And now, even if you don't hear the harmony, you kind of hear that there is some tension created here that resolves on the A. And again, the target note is D, so the seventh of E flat major 7, again a guide tone, and then he prepares that resolution, creating the tension with the semitone above, the E flat, and the semitone below, the C sharp, right? Resolving. This is a nice line. I didn't highlight anything, but we can spend 10 seconds on it. Flat 9, the B flat, and sharp 9, the C natural, right? Or B sharp, if you prefer, creating this nice evolution line to resolve on D major. And it's funny and really good that he's using the sixth to resolve on D major. Oh, I like it. I like it so much. This is a very common thing, using both the altered ninths over a dominant chord to create this effect. Check out Stan Getz. He was a big fan of that tension process. Let's keep going. Whoa, this line is gorgeous and it's very long. So he starts here with a A major triad because the next chord is D7, and this is just an arpeggio with both the sevens, you know, major seven starts here and then landing onto the minor seven and then using those notes to create this descending motion. And then again, enclosure on the G, which is of course the tonic of the chord here, and then beautiful enclosure on the E natural, and then there is a major seven interval here landing on the sharp nine of this chord. I love it. Oh, how good is that? And then more tension. So semitone above the C, semitone below the C, and then target note, which is the C, right? Going down to A. So this line is... And then, guys, look here. An enclosure made up of four notes to resolve on D. This is another famous, very famous enclosure. You know, where you go up a minor third, you go down to a semitone above the D. Remember, D here is our target note. So F, E flat. And then you go down a tone and up a semitone and then finally landing on D. So this will be our enclosure of four notes. So once you identify those things, guys, you know what to do. You need to take this concept and take it around the cycle. Ti-ti-do-do-do, ba-ba-do-do-do, 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 right? And you memorize inside your fingers so that then when you are familiar with it, you just think the resolution note and what happens will be this. You just think D and you automatically play that. So this is how practice can make you, you know, a really good player, because we don't have to think at non-essential things. We need to think the essential thing, the guide tone or the resolution, the target. And then we can create those beautiful lines that if you remove the enclosures, guys, all you are left is with a bunch of guide tones. And I love that, right? Again, listen to this resolution, E7 going to A major. Right? So he probably here, he thinks B minor 7, E7 flat 9, and then resolving on A major. So he's playing the arpeggio, B minor, and then doing landing on the 3 of E7, so a guide tone, and then enclosure to the E, which is the target note there. And the phrase is gorgeous. Oh, that's so good. Again, this is almost, you know, an F minor major 7 arpeggio. If I write here instead of G sharp, if I write A flat, you can see that is A flat, C, E, and then G, A flat, G, F, E, and E flat possibly. So we can easily take and say that you can play what is called E super Locrian, which is the seventh mode of F melodic minor ascending scale. And it's another way to wonderfully highlight sharp 9 of E7 and flat 9 of E7. Listen to the phrase. Right? Beautiful. And then again, enclosure resolving on C sharp. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? I missed that. This is exactly the same enclosure that we found before. This one. Da da do do da. But the target note is different. It's A sharp. So minor third above, and then a semitone up, a tone down, a semitone down. Right? This one. Da da do do da. And is resolving on the third of the next chord on beat one, exactly like before. This is exactly what I was talking about. When you practice this over and over and over, hours and hours of practice, it will be automatic. You don't have to think. You think the target note, you can predict that the target note is there, is the A sharp up there, and you can simply, you know, throw in that enclosure made up of four notes. Again, side D. Da, 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 da. I like it so much, this one, because from here, look at that. Target notes are A, F, D and G, right? All very common and simple notes on those chords. The chords are F dominant and B flat major. So he could have played da, 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 but that would be a very, very naive line. And instead, he's playing just by adding enclosures. And these are the same enclosures that he adds. Semitone above, semitone below, and target. Semitone above, semitone below, the F, and target. And then the target is D. Semitone above, semitone below, and then the target is G. Semitone above, semitone below. Listen. Oh, that's fantastic. And it's even better without the rhythm section, you know, because you can really hear how that chromatic sound has a lot of tension points resolving then on the right notes. How good is that? Right? Okay, let's keep moving to the third chorus where he develops even more enclosures. You know, enclosures of four notes. There is a lot of double time going around here. And remember, he's not playing with a drummer, but he's in total control of the form, of the beat, and the time. He doesn't miss a single quaver. You know, this is how good he is, and we have to be, you know, to play at that level. Right, so a lot of enclosures, again, flat 9 and sharp 9 here to resolve. Gorgeous. How good is that? You know, I told you, the time is perfect. I did notice something else that, for example, here he superimposes, where is it? Here. Da-ba-da-ba-dum. Superimposes, because we are going towards E flat major. So what he thinks here is F minor 7, B flat 7. You know, again, the chord is B flat major 7, but he knows where he is going, so he can anticipate and change a little bit without changing the structure or the function of the harmony there. And that's gorgeous, right? And the articulation, guys, pay attention to his articulation. It's perfect. I like it. I love it. And then he plays the melody at the end. The head out. And of course, he's playing the melody, but in a very jazz way and in a saxophone solo way, including the coda. And I highlighted in green all the melody notes to let you see that he is touching those notes. But when you listen, and if you don't pay too much attention, he's very good in disguising that. And it seems that he's creating, you know, a lot of new lines, new patterns, new ideas, but actually he's circumnavigating in a creative way and in a very solid way, but always around the melody. Have a listen. Right, so I will try to contact Max and ask if he's interested in an episode of the podcast, and maybe we can discuss this solo. What I notice also is that on the bridge, he alternates those top line with a sort of melodic pedal, or a pedal, harmonic pedal here, going up a semitone on E sharp, which is probably something that he wouldn't do if he's playing with the rhythm section, right? But in a saxophone solo situation, he likes to have that harmonic sound, and that especially this E going up a semitone to E sharp to highlight the harmonic movement. Is like if he needs to hear that harmonic shift from A major to F sharp major. I'm just only guessing, but I think I can confidently say that he probably wouldn't play, you know, in this way. But this is great because it means that he has total control on the form, and he can do whatever he likes doing on the form. And dynamic contrast. Right? So I love it. So guys, please remember to subscribe to the channel and follow me on YouTube or on the socials or on the podcast, as I showed you at the beginning, because there will be some more transcriptions going on very soon. Right? Let's listen to Max Ionata solo on All the Things You Are. Enjoy.
See you next time.